Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're listening to Pastor Randy from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please visit our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready, grab your Bible, open your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Yes, Lord, we rejoice in you because you are our Savior, Lord, and we thank you that you do hide us in the cleft of the rock, Lord. You do protect us by your hand, Lord. We are protected, and by your will, Lord, we will walk strong, and by salvation, Lord, we will live eternally. And so, Father, we thank you so much for this time of worship and praise, and thank you for inhabiting the praises of your people, Lord. We are your people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Awesome. That was great. Well, you know what? Whenever I'm going to remember that song, too. I don't know what means, but I don't want to be that. That was awesome. That was really good. All right. Hey, I've got a couple announcements for you. First of all, if you're interested in Pioneer Ministry, they have a sign up now. And that way you can get connected. I hear that they have awesome food, a great Bible study, and just a great time of loving on one another. So if you'd like to be a part of that, there's a sign-up sheet, and they'll let you know all the information you'll need. Also, listen, I showed the video for the OMC, the Organized Mass Chaos, that we want to do. The only issue we had a meeting on Sunday, but we are way, way understaffed in order to pull it off. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray. And if God is moving upon your heart, listen, don't feel obligated. But if God moves on your heart to be involved, it takes a lot of hands to pull an OMC off, a lot. Gosh, I would say about 50 people. And we had about 9 show up. That's okay. Listen, hey, God's in control. But don't feel obligated, because if you don't do it because God's calling you, then you're going to burn out. You're going to get frustrated. But if you do it because, you know what, God's calling me to do this, I want to be a part of it, then please take a moment and sign up. There's a sign-up sheet out there, and we're trusting God to fulfill every one of the slots that we need in order to do OMC. And so that's where we are right now. Listen, I don't have to tell you, but my gosh, pray for the people of Afghanistan. Pray for the people of people are being beheaded. Young girls are being raped and sold. It's horrific. Some of the footage that I've seen today, it just breaks my heart. Besides what's going on in America, besides what's potentially going to happen to Taiwan, listen. Here's what we know. We don't have to fret because God's in control, but we need to pray because he told us to. And he said that it would make a difference. So listen, we need to pray for these nations. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for the church. Even as Susan was saying, listen, we'll look at some more here coming up this Sunday, but we do need to pray. We need a lot of prayer right now. So we'll do that here in a moment. But well, let me do that real quick. Father God, Lord, oh, our heart is breaking, Lord. There's so much hurt in the world right now. There's so much hatred in the world right now. There's so much confusion in the world right now. And Lord, you, Lord, are not the author of confusion, but you are he who gives peace. You are he who will save us from this world. This world isn't all that there is, Lord. This world is just... it's just this thing we're in right now. It's this adventure. It is an adventure, and there are wonderful things to experience, but there's also some travesties. And so, Lord, we lift it up. We know you're going to sort it all out. It's all making sense. You're in control. But, Lord, we just sit here, and we're going to be obedient to pray. And so, Lord, we pray for Afghanistan. We pray for Taiwan. We pray for Israel. We pray for America, Lord. We pray, Father God, for your hand to be seen, Lord, in all the chaos, at your fingerprint, little rays of hope here and there that we just know that you're at work. And so, Lord, we love you, praise you, and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, once a month, I like to ask one of the leaders here at HBC to come and share from the Word. It gives you a break from hearing me all the time. But also, I think we have some really awesome Bible teachers in this church besides me. And so tonight, I've asked Deacon Howard to come up. So Deacon, come on, bring us a word, man.
See if I can pass the first test. Oh, there we go. And there was light. So like the pastor said, I'm Howard, but a few weeks ago, you would have known me at, oh, just a minute. You would have known me as Uncle H, the car guy, in the video for the talent show. And what a blessing that was. That was really fun. And so really, I'm just a retired guy now. Yeah, from the working world, and I've really just been blessed that I'm working for the Lord now, and that as a Savior and as a deacon. And so, Lord, I just feel very blessed and privileged to bring you this, 2 seconds, this inspirational message to you. I know, we're ready. So let me pray first, and then we'll get the, I'll just go ahead. Come on, bring the Bibles on. Come on, bring them on out. Bring them on out. Come on, bring the Bibles out. There we go. So anybody who doesn't have a Bible, we have one for you. Praise the Lord. Okay, while they're doing that, let me open with prayer. Father, I pray that your words will be out of my mouth tonight. Not my words. Let your words resonate with me, out of me. Let this study be meaningful to those that are going to hear it. And let us just enjoy your richness of your word, your meaning that you put behind it, and that we can glean from it, and we learn from your word, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. And we ask this in Jesus' name. So tonight I'll be bringing up many different verses throughout this study. They won't be on the overheads. Or whatever you call it, graphics, sorry. But that is a graphic of where we'll be tonight. Thank you, Pastor. And so I'll be bringing them up, so you can write them down if you want to and study them later. First, let's read in John 1:1-4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. We also read in John 3:17, it says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus took the weight of all our sins, placed them on his shoulders, that we could be reconciled back to a holy God. Little side note here. My bride, Carolee, and myself really enjoy serving here at HBC. We're originally from Washington State, and from the rain and the moss. Now we live here in the desert and the heat. But we like it. We love it, actually. The rain gets a little tiring after a while. It really does. So it's God's calling us to be part of this church family and to serve him and to serve one another. And God's timing is always perfect. Another verse before we get into our study is Psalms 91:2-3. The psalmist wrote, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. I'm not going to mess it. And from the pestilent. I always mess up that one. Sorry. Anyway, the pestilence. I'm bad. I'm moving on. The psalmist wrote, I struggled with that even when I was practicing. I still couldn't get it right. The psalmist wrote about what God does, provides safety for us when we abide in him. I've entitled our message tonight, Are You a Lost Sheep? And we'll be studying in Luke 15, 1 through 7, the parable of the lost sheep. There are three parables in Luke that describe the lost and then being found. I want to strongly encourage you to read, study all of them if you haven't already. I love how Jesus used these earthly stories for all our examples, even today. The first parable in Luke 15 is about the lost sheep, verses 1 through 7, which is a picture of Jesus, our good shepherd, leaving the 99 to go after that one lost sheep, which could be you, me. This shows the heart of Jesus. This will be our scripture this evening. We'll read it here pretty soon. The next parable is the woman that lost her coin in verse 8 through 10, which is a picture of the Holy Spirit and how he seeks after the lost. And the last parable of the father and his son in verse 11 through 32. This is a picture of our heavenly Father who welcomes us back with loving arms every time we go astray and get lost. All three parables were told by Jesus as they were stories used by him for illustration purposes of things, people being lost, sinners like you and me, and then being found and restored. Let us remember, God loves us. He will seek us out to find us, to restore us back to him. For he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, as it says in Ezekiel 34:11. For thus says the Lord, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. This evening, we'll be investing our time on that one parable of the lost sheep. The one lost sheep could be any of us at any time when we go astray. Go astray. Let's move on to see how Jesus, our good shepherd, seeks after us, each one of us. In Romans 5:8, Paul tells us something special. But God demonstrated his own love towards us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, now let's open our Bibles and turn with me to Luke 15, verse 1. Our title again, Are You a Lost Sheep? Let me pray one more time before I read. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, just guide my words tonight. Guide our reading tonight. Let us find something in here that we haven't seen before. You know, that's how we hear from you, Lord. You speak to us through your word. What a mighty word you have. Lord, just thank you so much for this time that we can share this with, that you share it with us. So we'll be reading from the King James Version. Let me get to verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him. Oh, I got it twice. And the Pharisees and the scribes complaining, saying, This man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And then he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and saying to them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Verse 7, And I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Again, I pray that the Lord adds his blessing to the reading of his word. So are you a lost sheep? As we begin our study, let me take some time to reveal some definitions that I've uncovered with some thoughts that I have to go with lost sheep. First, let's look at the definition of lost. Webster defines it this way: unable to find one's way, no longer known, no longer visible, lacking confidence, not knowing one's location, helpless. That's interesting, isn't it? Unable to find one's way, no longer visible. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Okay, now let's look at the meaning of sheep and what Webster has to say about them. A domesticated, defenseless animal with a thick, woolly coat, kept in flocks, can be easily influenced or led, and has a tendency to follow others, other sheep in the flock. That's interesting. Follow others. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Okay, now I'm going to have some fun by putting these words together into a paragraph that will describe a lost sheep. A helpless, defenseless, domesticated animal kept in flocks that lacks confidence, unable to find one's way, can be easily influenced and led astray, and has a tendency to follow others. Wow, church, doesn't that sound like us? Easily influenced? Let me repeat that again and let it sink in. A helpless, defenseless, domestic animal kept in flocks that lacks confidence, unable to find one's way, can be easily influenced and led astray, and has a tendency to follow others. Wow, church, doesn't that sound like our lives? Unable to find one's way, can be easily influenced and led astray, and has a tendency to follow others. That's why we need Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, who will prod his wandering sheep back into the flock to keep them in his protective care. In John 10:11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." So are you a lost sheep? A question I want to ask you. Where are you tonight with Jesus? Is Jesus your good shepherd? Do you know him? More importantly, does he know you? Are you lost? Maybe you're lost and you don't even know it. Let's look at a couple examples here. Let's see. I come to church. Check. I read my Bible. Check. I'm a good person. Check. Is pride in doing all this making me think that I'm looking good in front of others? Double check. Because it happens, church. I'm guilty of it. We're all guilty of it. Pride is a nasty. Pastor just had a good sermon on that the other day, last Sunday, actually. Jesus said in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." But are you, me, truly listening to what the Holy Spirit is telling us? Are we following Jesus or other people? Or are we following other things that we feel are more important? This list could be huge, church. There's so many things that catch our eye out there. Does your life reflect being in fellowship with his flock? This is super important. Do we heed to the calling of Jesus for his will in your life? Do I? We read in Psalms 5:8, "Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make way straight before my face." Let's do a little more reviewing as we prepare to get ready for our study of Luke 15. Now, in biblical times, a shepherd used a rod and a staff to tend and direct the flock. The rod was straight to help fight off wild animals and to count the sheep. The staff was crooked, had a crooked end, so he could pull back into the fold and keep them from moving about, keep them in the right direction. In Psalms 23:4, we read, "Your rod and staff, they comfort me." There's a term, dumb as sheep, that might have that probably originated in the 1700s when George Washington declared, "If freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent we may be led like sheep to the slaughter." Let's think about that one today. Are you a lost sheep? This reminds me of my late teens and early 20s. I thought everything was groovy. Nothing about lost. Oops, sorry, some 70s spilled out there. But I was listening to my so-called friends in the 70s. For these cool dudes had found the way to true happiness. They seemed so cool. Ugh. But were they? I was lost. I so wanted to be part of their cool gang. And they'd be saying to me, "Do whatever makes you happy, Howard. Don't care about anyone but yourself, dude, unless they're passing you a joint to party down." So I followed in on that so-called party scene. I took the drug speed a few times to be cool. The last time, I was up all night, couldn't sleep for 48 hours. Felt no control, was out of control. Yuck, I did not like that at all. But my friends kept saying, "What's wrong with you, man? It feels cool." And I was like, "Yuck, no thanks, no thanks." Another phase for me was drinking hard alcohol, beer, wine, whatever was passed on down to me. But God blessed me with a weak stomach. Weak mind, too, but... So over-drinking meant me sticking my head in the porcelain toilet, rolling down the window and, or going to the bushes, you know, throwing up, hangovers after that. But I was hard-headed thinking, I'm in control. Maybe next weekend this won't happen. Still listening to my friends. Next time, you won't get sick. But that next time never came. Isn't that the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting a different result? But now I know I was very lost. But Howard partied on, for I was following my crowd of friends, and they were leading me to true happiness, or so I thought. And I can remember when Jesus started waking me up. For I was starting to see there was something different because of him. I can remember the last time my childhood best friend and party buddy said, and I can still remember him saying that to me in a gas station where I saw him. He said, "This is the last time I'm inviting you to a party, Howard." I said, "Thanks, but no thanks." But he continued on for years and years. I didn't. He was the same age as me. We were tight growing up. He died 21 years ago, and I'm pretty sure he was lost. It wasn't until later in life that I finally listened to Jesus Christ calling, and he changed my life. Now I think of my friend. Now I know the true meaning of happiness. That's Jesus Christ. And I never shared it with him. Would he have listened? I'll never know. I believe we all have these stories like that even today. The could-haves. Maybe someone at the store. The should-haves. Had that chance with the neighbor. But didn't. But we ask ourselves, why not? Are you sharing Jesus with people in your life? Am I? Maybe they don't want to listen to it from you or me, and I know my kids don't. And we're praying for them, asking for God to soften their heart, to put someone in their life who they'll listen to about you and your love. Much prayer, much power, church. For it says in Isaiah 53:6, are we like sheep gone astray? We have turned every one onto his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all of us. God is all-knowing. He knew we would go astray, for we're like sheep. God sent his son, Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah, God in the flesh, to be our great example for us to follow. We also have the Holy Spirit who lives in every believer to guide us every day. God is calling us to gather as a church, his church. As we read in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, let us consider one another to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. And we're seeing it, aren't we? The day is approaching. So brothers and sisters, we need each other in these difficult times to count on one another, so we don't fall out of fellowship and become that lost sheep. Are you that lost sheep? So now when I speak those words to you, lost sheep, think of that definition that I gave earlier. A helpless, defenseless, domesticated animal, kept in flocks, that lacks confidence, unable to find one's way, can be easily influenced and led astray, and has a tendency to follow others. What comes to your mind? You could be thinking, I'm not a sheep. I'm not a lost animal, Howard. That's someone else. That's not me. I'm not lost. Or maybe you were once lost, but now you've been found. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Or you could be thinking, how did he know? How did Howard know this? I feel really lost today or this evening. And you could be thinking, why do I feel this way, lost? What must I do to be found? Our identity can be found in Christ alone. For in Galatians 2:20, it tells us how to be found. My old self being crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting the Son of the God who loves me and gave himself for me. So now with some of that background work done, let's listen to what the Holy Spirit, what does he want to teach us tonight, you and me? So let's look at the first three verses in Luke 15. I need a drink. Verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him, to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Verse 3. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, so in verse 1, it is written that then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. Jesus spoke this parable to the tax collectors and the sinners, for this is the picture of grace of Christ. He came to save the lost by his actions. Jesus showed favor to these men. He has no pleasure in the death and ruin of sinners, but rejoices when a heart repents and turns to him. Jesus drew crowds of people by his teaching wherever he spoke, bringing many to repentance. The great crowds would say, "Who is this person that speaks with such authority?" In Matthew 4:4, we read, "But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" And then we read, now let's look at verse 2. "And then the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" Let's see what the definition of a Pharisee is. A religious leader, member of an ancient Jewish sect, distinguished by strict observance of tradition and written laws of the Old Testament. The Pharisees and the scribes were getting tired of these crowds and their responses. It was making them look bad. And they knew the law, and they had the authority of the law, period. No one else. So the Pharisees were thinking, how dare this man, Jesus, talk with such authority and associating with these people? For these are low-life individuals. They deserve nothing. This is unspeakable. But by Christ's action, he was making himself familiar and available to all people, to invite them into his companionship, his teaching, to break bread with them, to eat. This same invitation is available to all of us today. In Colossians 2, 6 and 7, "As you therefore have received Christ the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it, with thanksgiving." So a quick question to you. Are we acting like Pharisees sometimes? Are we only wanting to associate with certain people and not that type? Are you finding yourself in a group or a clique? We need to be careful, church. We need to be loving on everyone. Sheep get hurt. Just a thought or a question to ask ourselves. But we need to come from the stance of Jesus' love, not the legalism of the law. So now these Pharisees were thinking, these people, these tax collectors, they collect taxes that were paid to the Roman government. So these so-called people were considered the lowest of low because what they did for the Romans. And the Pharisees and the scribes graded these sinners, tax collectors, the same as harlots and heathens. But Christ's teaching gives us hope, encouragement to all if we need repentance and forgiveness. But these religious leaders of Jesus' time divided humanity into two classes, the unclean and the righteous. So by their definition, people of that profession and all sinners were non-Jews, the Gentiles. These were the unclean people. The Pharisees, on the other hand, the righteous, they lived by the law, and they were not sinners. They lived apart as much as possible in complete separation from these unclean people and would never associate with them. This one person wrote this: "Many rabbis of Jesus' day took this idea so seriously that they refused to teach these unclean people God's word." I like what C.S. Lewis wrote: "God cannot give us peace and happiness apart from himself, because there is no such thing. It's our happiness." So the Pharisees condemned Jesus for preaching to them, to these unclean people. They were furious, disapproving of Jesus, of eating with them and teaching with them. In Luke 11:28, we see Luke as he says, But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Now let's look at verse 3. He, Jesus, spoke this parable to them, saying, with this verse, we see Christ is about to respond to the the accusations made by the Pharisees and the scribes, and was relating this parable straight at them. Christ is illustrating to these religious leaders this parable, giving God all glory. There'd be more joy in heaven and worship if by his preaching that one sinner be brought to repentance, from the lost being found and ultimately being saved. In 2 Peter 3:9, we read, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Jesus' message was for the lost, the sinner, the tax collector, and the Pharisees just could not understand this. In Psalms 91:2, we read, and I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. And it states in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. When we walk by faith, we can trust in our good shepherd to guide our path so we don't get lost because of his love, grace, and mercy for us. Are you a lost sheep? Let's continue with verse 4 and 5. In verse 4, we read, and what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And in verse 5, and when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. The same account can be found in Matthew 12. Then he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Oh, how much more value than is a man than a sheep? Let's look at verse 4. Now, what man, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that one which is lost until he finds it? Let's imagine the shepherd here looking over his flock of 100, maybe from a distance, like me, looking up in the on the pasture, looking down at them. He's probably doing his daily head count with his staff. And what he sees and counts is different. It's 99. Now, wait a minute, that's not right. And if it was me and my counting skills, I'd have to count it a couple more times. Because, you know, those silly sheep, they like to move around. I don't know how they do that. But after a recount, this shepherd, he knows his flock and says, yes, one is missing. And now he's thinking, one has gone astray. It's lost, but where is it? In his head, he's thinking, which one is gone? Looking at them intently, probably with his, he's counting them again, and he can't find the smallest of his flock, that one with that certain marking of that dark color that runs along its backside. Now he knows his sheep well and the difficult birth it had, for he knows it, just like Jesus knows us too. Jesus knows us intimately. We read in Luke 12:7, for the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore, for you are more valued than many sparrows. Praise the Lord for that. And in 1 Corinthians 8:3, we read, but if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. I also like what A.W. Tozier wrote. Your spiritual safety and well-being lies in being near the shepherd. Stay close to Jesus, and all the wolves in the world cannot get a tooth in you. This represents the heart of Jesus and how he feels when one of his sheep has gone astray and is lost. He wants all to return to his flock. We read in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Dry mouth. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing. The shepherd knows it's a sheep. It's completely defenseless. It doesn't know it's lost. This makes the shepherd even more sad. Now he knows this sheep is lost, and it's in great danger now. It's probably out there wandering about, and it's foolish to think it'll return without his guidance and care. For this sheep is out wandering in the land, just like you and me can do. We can and we do wander outside the flock in this lost world of ours today, doing our own thing. When we're not listening to our good shepherd, we too become very lost, brothers and sisters. Be careful, church. There's wolves out there. Our Father in heaven takes care of us wandering sheep because as Christians, we must believe in his promises, instructions for us, and have trust that he knows what's best for us. We're not to listen to the lies of the evil one, church. Don't listen to the lies of the evil one, church. In Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron. One man sharpens another. We need each other, brother and sister, for just that reason. In Matthew 7:15, we read, beware of false prophets, for they come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. The saved, the body of believers, are just like those 99 sheep, safe in pasture of the good shepherd. Are you a lost sheep? Remember that definition earlier? Lost sheep, a helpless, defenseless, domesticated animal kept in flocks that lacks confidence, unable to find one's way, can easily be influenced and led astray, and has a tendency to follow others. I believe we could add a few new words to that. Wanders aimlessly, continually giving way to the fear of the evil one, wants green pasture of fellowship but can't find it. Remember, the evil one comes to devour us, as it is written in John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So, church, what must we do so we do not become lost sheep? Charles Spurgeon wrote, a sheep in the midst of wolves is safe compared with Christians in the midst of ungodly men. In Proverbs 13:20, it says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, and the companions of fools will be destroyed. And I really like this one. In John 10:14-18, Jesus tells all of us, that he is our good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and laid down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have which are not of my fold, them also I must bring. That's all of us. And they will hear my voice, and they will be one flock, one shepherd. And that that don't, those the future people that are going to repent and come to him. Let's continue on with verse 5 now. When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Our shepherd finds his lost sheep. In finding it, the shepherd, which we can only imagine that sight, maybe he's looking down in the valley and seeing his sheep, probably stuck on something, weary, worn out, maybe cold, wet, shivering as a result of being lost. And then he goes, "That's my sheep! There it is! Hallelujah! My sheep! My sheep! There it is! I can't believe it! There you are!" He's probably running to it now with open arms. His heart is pounding, excitement and joy. He knows this sheep, and this sheep knows him too. In Proverbs 18:10, we read, "The name of the Lord is our strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." Now, you know, he could have just freed it up and sent it on its way and scolded it for getting lost. You know, like, "You stupid sheep, you're lost again." Not this shepherd, not this shepherd. Knowing this, I put stupid sheep, but knowing that sheep are stupid, and he needs it back in the flock where the safety is. We need to trust in Jesus and know in our times of trouble, he is with us. He is our Redeemer. Amen. For in those times, we are in his protection. For he bought and paid for us with his life on the cross with his blood. In Psalms 91:4, we read, "He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promise are your armor and protection." I have a story of a long time ago of losing a dog. And I was outside working in the yard, and I had the dog with me. And since I was right there, I thought, "Nah, I don't need to put her on her leash. It's okay. I'm right here." Wrong. Forgetting about the dog after an hour or so and looking around, and she's gone. So now I start looking all around the property. Still no dog. So I get my truck and drive around the streets. No dog. My kids are not going to be happy with me. After much searching, still no dog. This is not good for Howard. Now I've lost the family dog. And daily, the kids remind me of this. "Dad, you lost the dog." Thanks. After a couple weeks of searching had gone by, we'd given up any and all hope of finding Molly. One day I was in another town for business that had an animal shelter. And this would be like driving from here to Lake Havasu. So I was thinking, "Hey, I'll give it a try." So I stopped in and asked if I could look for a dog that I'd lost in their kennels. And sure enough, there's our dog. And it even took me a few seconds to recognize her. But when we made eye contact with each other, she jumped for joy and almost out of that kennel. And when they opened that door, Molly pretty much jumped into my arms. And she was a bigger dog, too. So when I picked her up, she's licking my face and she's whining and, you know, and all that stuff. And I'm trying to hold this big dog. And the gal from the shelter, she looks at us both and says, "Well, that's enough proof for me. That's your lost dog." So when I returned home with Molly, there was much excitement and celebrating. And Dad was out of the doghouse. But you know, we still had to keep her on a leash, for she still wandered off. When not watched or on a runner chain, no matter how much correction, discipline, she never did lose that want to run. So just like us, we need Jesus to keep us on that short leash, to keep us from straying, to keep us in the flock, to correct us, to show us just how much he loves us. So let's continue on with the shepherd in this parable, having found his lost sheep and has the 99 safe in the pasture. He's gone the extra mile to find that one lost sheep. Now he has placed it on his shoulders, close. He wants to reassure it that it's safe in his protection. Can you imagine that? Puts it up on his shoulders to carry it home. Hallelujah! Just like Jesus. That's what he does when we're lost. He places us on his shoulders and he carries us home. For Christ will carry the weight of our burdens, people. That's what made us lost in the first place. I like the verse in ESV, Isaiah 40:11. He will tend his flock like shepherds. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Church, what do you say? In his arms? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He carries us. Us humans, we're like dumb sheep when we struggle. We want to do it ourselves. We can handle it. We can carry the burden of our problems and our troubles. Really? No matter what. Really? We need to give it up, church. Truth is, we have this sin nature. But the world tells us we just need a pill and to love ourselves. Wrong. The cure is, and his name is Jesus Christ. For all we need to do is surrender to Jesus. In Romans 5:8, Paul tells us that, for God demonstrated his love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And in Jeremiah 17:7, he tells us that blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. And it's described in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And in all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Are you a lost sheep? Let's start to wrap up this wonderful parable as we finish with verse 6 and 7. Verse 6 reads, "And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and family, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost.'" And verse 7, "And I will say to you likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just people who need no repentance." As it's stated in verse 6, when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, the shepherd's heading home now. His search is done. He has found his sheep. He is rejoicing so greatly that it's overflowing from his soul. Now in this parable, it doesn't talk of anything of his journey home. Not a word. No, his joy is having found the lost sheep, the lost. He turns to his friends and neighbors and is asking them to bring in some noise for his pleasure and relief. I've found my sheep. Hallelujah, my family, my sheep is safe and sound, crying out, rejoice with me, family, for I have found my sheep that was once lost. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Once lost. In Matthew 18:11, it tells us, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. And in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I say rejoice. Let's take on our last verse, 7. And I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 just people who need no repentance. In heaven, There'll be more joy over one sinner that repents and turns to Jesus that truly has been truly lost than the 99 just people who don't need repentance. Hallelujah, he's saved. In John 9:25, he talks to the man saved. And he said, whether he's a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, I now see. I like what Charles Spurgeon wrote. Oh, brethren, there is enough joy in the heart of Christ over his saved ones to flood all heaven with delight. The streets of paradise will run knee-deep with heavenly waters of the Savior's joy. And in Acts 17:30 it says, truly, these times of ignorance God overlooks, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. The sheep, us, were Christ first, because he chose us before the foundation of the world. He specified that fact in his great prayer. John 17:24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you've given me, because you love me before the foundation of the world. So let's do the same, church. Let us rejoice as Christ rejoices, as one who is lost is found. We had one last Sunday. And one sinner that repents and comes to the Lord and is found for the first time. Let everyone know that they've come home. They're back with the flock of Jesus Christ. C.S. Lewis wrote this. He did not die for men, but for each man. If each man had been the only man, he would have still done no less. He died for everyone. He died for all of us. Get excited, brothers, sisters. Hallelujah, for he died for us. A couple of thoughts that I want to leave with you. I hope and pray that this message spoke to you in some way as to how loved you are by our Heavenly Father. And he'll do anything to find you, me, when we're lost and when we need to be in his protective care. How gracious is our Lord to freely give himself up, to die in our place so we can be redeemed and have salvation. I pray that the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart tonight. And if you're lost and you want to be saved, Jesus Christ searches tirelessly to seek and find you. In Luke 9:23, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, not once a week, not once a year, daily, and follow me. And let me follow up with, pretty much everyone knows this one, but Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Isn't that an exciting word, a future and a hope? Let me read that definition one last time. You'll probably get tired of it. But lost sheep, a helpless, defenseless, domesticated animal kept in flocks that lacks confidence, unable to find one's way, can be easily influenced and led astray, and has a tendency to follow others. So church, don't become that lost sheep. Don't let the evil one influence your way. Know where you are headed. Know with your heart and your relationship with Christ to follow your good shepherd, because he won't lead you astray ever. Blessed be his name. So are you of that lost sheep? In closing, I want to ask you to search your heart. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight, then ask yourself this question. If you were to die right now, do you know with all certainty where you are going? And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're feeling Him tug on your heart, then listen and accept Him tonight or any time. Don't put off the most important decision you will ever make. Where are you going to spend eternity? Jesus Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, on the cross, spilled His blood for us, and was buried and rose again in 3 days. Here's how easy it is. The gospel of Jesus Christ. First, admit that I'm a sinner. Romans 3:23. We all have sinned and fallen short of His glory. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. Second, believe Jesus is Lord. Romans 10:9-10. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And third, call upon the name of Jesus. Romans 10:13. Whoever calls on the name shall be saved. It's just that easy. Just surrender your heart to Jesus Christ. So if you made that decision, and I'm sure I don't know if there is any, but I pray there is somebody out there that's maybe listening, which I forgot to look up. And, you can come and talk with one of the pastors or any of the deacons, and we can pray with you. Or just ask Jesus into your heart, and He'll do the rest. No matter where you're at, He'll do the rest. But you got to give it up to Him. It's just that easy. So, church, don't be a lost sheep. So with that, let me close in prayer, and I want to thank you for your time. So Heavenly Father, just thank you for this message. Thank you for your word, which is strong, stronger than a two-edged sword. Thank you for your endless searching for us lost sheep until you find us and you want to bring us home to the flock. And Lord, there's so many yet still that need to come home, that need to be with you in your flock, Lord. You know, whether it's that one person in the supermarket, whether it's one person at the gas station, whether it's the traffic cop giving you a ticket, whoever it is, Lord, they need to hear about you. And Lord Jesus, just thank you so much that you did all that for us. You died on the cross for us. You spilled your blood for us. And we have everlasting life in you. And we can trust in your promises. That is your promise, Jesus. So thank you, and may you add your blessing to this holy word and to everyone. May everyone be blessed in their way home tonight, and just thank you for your time and patience with me, and I ask this in your Son's name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He is risen. Don't be lost.